The home of jump racing. This is where the magic happens. Feel like a Cheltenham favourite with Paddy Power.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Road to Cheltenham. Ruby Walsh is with me in the studio, and he's got that look about him that I know that something bad is about to happen.
It was a massive weekend, and there was great winners. But obviously, then on Monday, Lydia, there was the HWPA Awards, and you were Broadcaster of the Year again. So I have been entrusted with presenting you with your trophy. And this is really difficult for me because I'm used to being the one that gets all the gongs, not really giving them out. But I will do as I always did when I was beaten in the past, and that is smile, say well done, pass the trophy, and you can judge whether I mean it or not.
I was going to say, you've got a good record of giving out, I thought personally. I like the way you've wrapped it. It's very kind of you. Oh, and you've taken it out of the plastic as well. Lovely.
COVID. I couldn't touch it.
No. It's a good point. Well, thank you very much. And
well done.
Thank.
Moving swiftly on.
You're not going to let this lie either,
no.
Are you? There's already been about 18 references to it so far.
Well, you do realise, as Broadcaster of the Year, we have a set limit of time on this show, so if you could move along, that'd be helpful.
I think he's giving me the hurry up, ladies and gentlemen. Right, let's talk about... I mean, you said it's been a really packed weekend. Let's start with the two-mile chasers, moving on to the intermediates and the stayers. First part of the show is going to be about chasers. We'll start with the Tingle Creek, shall we, that was won by Grenadine. There were a couple of high-profile flops, but Grenadine was the winner, an impressive winner in the end.
Yeah, he was an impressive winner at the end, and he stuck at it really well. Obviously, Shaq and Pourceau was a massive flop. Captain Guinness ran well. Hitman, good performance. But I think we'll start with, obviously, if you're into your racing, you will know Edward Stone was a quicker than Grenadine. And we'll give you a quick breakdown of that and a quick synopsis of it. So we'll show them at the first fence, and as we pick it up, Third Time Lucky does get there marginally in front of the Tingle Creek, and the race builds from there. So Third Time Lucky's over, pick him up again going down the hill, which is the faster part of the track. Third Time Lucky's off the ground before Shaq and Pourceau. He is so again at the water. So the Henry VIII was run quicker than the Tingle Creek. Now, the really taken thing is how Edward Stone, who was beside him at the pond fence, the Tingle Creek, finishes well in front of Grenadine. His finishing time or finishing speed was much better than that of the Tingle Creek. So a good performance from him, but it's not the first novice we saw outrun the Tingle Creek on that particular card at Sandown.
No, we'll talk about that later on in the show, but they've run over the same course and distance, and Edward Stone essentially outpacing the Tingle Creek at every stage. And Third Time Lucky again, we'll come back to him later. We're concentrating on the fully formed chasers, as it were. So let's go into detail about what happened. Focusing first of all on Grenadine, he's been brought to win this Grade One in that sort of targeting way that his trainer Paul Nicholls is so good at.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody better than him at it. Look, he's managed to win a Tingle Creek, a Victor Channer and a champion chase with Dodging Bullets. Now, obviously, his target was the Tingle Creek and he progressed from there. But, look, he's been doing it for years and he's a master at it. But the Tingle Creek was an interesting race to watch in that, I suppose, I was glued to Shaq and Pourceau, who didn't perform, and we'll get back to him in a minute. But from Flagfall, Grenadine, he was slightly keen up to the first fence, which I wasn't really expecting. But Nuba Negra missed the first, which I wasn't expecting either. Down to the third, the four horse, three horses at the front end fly it. Grenadine nods on landing. When you get between the sixth and the seventh fence, it's how close they all are together. Tingle Creeks, you're used to seeing them spread eagle down the back straight and sand them, but they're on a bunch together. And when they get to the last of the, this is the water jump coming up, I couldn't believe Shaqin hadn't put a stamp on this race. But that's just the way it unfolded. And even when they get from the back of this to the railways, who do you want to be on? You couldn't
not
pick the winner.
Not Shaq and Pourceau.
No, but the other three, you're thinking, how could I really want to be on one of those before the race started? But that's who you wanted to be on. And it did develop into a sprint. And across to the pond fence, Briney stayed wide and Grenadine flies it. But at the back of it, Shaq and Pourceau is beat, Nuba Negra's beat. Grenadine jumps on with a good jump and Hitman makes a mistake at the second last. And it's all over there and then. Captain Guinness looks like he's going to be second, but Hitman, to his credit, battles back to finish second. But where does Grenadine go from here? I don't know, but I don't believe that the fourth and fifth gave a true run of themselves.
No, I think it's impossible to argue that. Let's start with Noumin Egra, shall we? Because I suppose at the start of the season that the Skeltons would have thought they'd have been running that horse in the Tingle Creek. I think they'd have expected it to be the ground to be a bit too deep for him. How do you account for that, Rhoda? Are you just putting it down to being flat?
Yeah, but I think a couple of the Skelton horses did at the weekend. Him, Third Time Lucky, and All Mankind in the Peterborough. I think three of their top four that ran, Protectorate, obviously, as we'll see in a while, delivered. But I think the other three underperformed. And whether that was being really ready at the Paddy Power meeting or wherever they ran, or even All Mankind back at the race in Aintree, I don't know, did they just slightly off the boil? But I don't think the three of those ran to their maximum.
So Noumin Egra better judged on the second in the Queen Mother Champion Chase and the Slur winning this?
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah.
OK, so Grenadine wasn't that far behind Noumin Egra, none of them were, in the Queen Mother Champion Chase, but he is getting older, getting more mature, getting more capable. What do you think his route to Cheltenham is going to be?
Sure, don't you know Paul Nicholls go the same way as he went with Dodging Bullets? He'd probably go Victor Chandler and on to, not Victor Chandler, what is it now, Clarence House, and on to the Champion Chase. And look, I didn't foresee Dodging Bullets winning the Champion Chase when he won his Tingle Creek. I don't foresee Grenadine, but I'm not saying it won't happen.
Now, Hitman is only five. He made a load of mistakes. Could he be a Grenadine of the future? Grenadine, of course, finished second to Politologue in the Tingle Creek last year and has matured.
He could be, but I just don't see him beating Grenadine this season.
No. And also, he's had a couple of win operations already in his career, so that would temper enthusiasm for him in the long term. And how about Captain Guinness?
Ran a blinder. I think fulfilled some of the potential that he always had, and it was a really good run from him.
Okay. Now, the sharp-eyed among you will have noticed that Ruby hasn't focused particularly on Chacun Pessoir. That's because he's going to analyse this.
So this week we're going to analyse the performance of Chacun Pessoir in last Saturday's Tingle Creek and try and figure out what exactly went wrong. I don't know the answer, but if you look at it from the start, all looked well at the first fence, good jump. Second fence, watch him behind. He stalls ever so slightly in the air, which looks slightly awkward for some reason. Down the hill to the third fence, he lets fly, but you knew you were in trouble at the back of the next fence. Keep your eyes on Patrick Mullins. Changes his hands to pick up, to add in pace to the race, but there's no pick up. Again at the back of the next, changes his hands again to squeeze him, doesn't go any faster. And the same at the back of this fence, which is the sixth. To me, that was the first of the railways, or the sixth. Put down at the first of the railways, got over the second one, but by the time he got to the third one, it was all over. He never rose a gallop, never went forward, and to me, just never showed up.
Yeah, Patrick felt that there was something wrong afterwards. Willie Mullins, in an interview the following day, was saying that he was sore behind. What's the latest on this horse?
I was there Tuesday morning. I didn't see him, to tell you the truth. The horse that ran at the weekend were on fifth lot, and I didn't wait for that. But he was stiff behind, but he just ran no race.
Yeah, a more thorough clinical examination is going to follow, according to Willie Mullins. Now, this horse, he's rising 10. It was the first full season that Willie Mullins had with him last season, and he still didn't manage to win the Champion Chase. The preceding five seasons, he only ran 8 times. Can we really see him as a Cheltenham project still for the Queen Mother?
I don't think you can rely on him, but I guarantee you he'll be aimed at the Champion Chase, or definitely at Cheltenham, with Willie Mullins. To pick a target is a brave thing to do, but he didn't blow me away in last year's Hillyway, and I wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back.
OK. Those are Ruby's thoughts on Chacun Pessoir. The following day at Punchestown, we had the Grade 1 John Durkin. It featured 10 runners, 7 of which were trained by Willie Mullins. And he had the winner and the second and the third. He would probably have had the fourth if Asterion Falange stood up at the third last. But Alaho, the magnificent Ryanair winner, was making a glorious return.
Yeah, I wasn't mad strong on him. He hadn't got a great record first time out, but he laid that ghost to rest. But look, it was a race that was definitely affected by this low-lying sun, with the three fences in the back straight being omitted, and that changed the complexion of it. But if we pick it up from the start, it was a race with 10 runners that split into a 6 and a 4 pretty early on. First fence, Alaho jumps it well out to his left. At the second, Fakhar Dudari in the white cap. He makes a slight mistake here, which isn't usually like him. He's usually much slicker and faster through the air. The third fence, nothing really untoward. Alaho and Alan Boy Allen are into good positions. If anything, Alan Boy Allen was maybe a fraction high there. But you have to go a long way now before you see anything else, and that's Manila Times at the back. He's the first one to start feeling the pinch. And if you looked at the horse in the green and white check as they bypassed his fence, Darragh O'Keefe changing his whip and Tornado Flyer, he's starting to feel the pinch as well. Up to four out before we really get motoring, and Fakir makes another mistake, so does Franco de Port. Third last, watch the grey horse down the inside. Asterion Falange, no real room to go right. Doesn't quite get high enough and falls out in his head. Aloha's gone clear of Janadil down to the second last, which he makes a hames of. Patrick spotted a stride that Aloha didn't want to take, and he gets himself from A to B at the back of the last. But look, it was a bit more of a slog than you usually would see in John Durkin's, and I think that can be put down to the pace increasing in the back straight with the three bypass fences, where horses generally would have slowed to jump. They never slowed here.
Yeah, they're really slowing down up front at this point, and that's allowed Janadil, who was more patiently ridden, to get closer to Aloha. And even Tornado Flyer, who looked like tailing off at one point, is coming through.
Who finishes a neck behind Fakir Dudari, whom he finished a length and a half or 2 lengths behind in the Rainer.
Let's talk about targets for some of those horses. Asterion Falange, afterwards, Willie Mullins was talking about stepping up to 3 miles, and you're immediately thinking Savile's Chase, but that's left-handed.
Yeah. Is he in the King George?
Ooh, good question. Ooh, good question. Let me look at... 1 minute, caller. You carry on.
Broadcaster of the year.
One, Mr. Christian. Come on, carry on. Carry on.
I know the answer.
Do you? Well, that's the question.
So you see if you do your homework then.
Answer the question then.
He is in it, yeah.
Right, thank you. Right. So is he going to the King George, smart Alec?
I don't know.
How come you don't know? I mean, assistant trainer going round there
every week. I'm only the assistant's assistant. I didn't ask, but he's in the King George. And it was
that
a good
was
performance
helpful.
From him.
I think we could all agree that was useful.
But look, here he goes. He definitely started, looked like he was shown the potential we always believed he had.
Yeah, well, I think the King George would be a better target than the Savile's Chase. How about Fakir Dudari? They're talking about maybe stepping back up and trip with him as well. He was pulled up in that race last year.
Yeah, he I don't know, he didn't seem to show the same zest that he showed in Clonmel. Maybe a better race, but he can be a little in and out, Fakir. When he's good, he's good, but when he's not on a going day, he can get exposed.
Any others that you want to pick out? Janadil's steadily improving all the time, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the King George as well, but I don't know whether he go there. The Savile's, Aloha, there's no real race for him at Christmas unless he go back to 2 miles. So I wouldn't be surprised if he skipped Christmas. And Willie kind of alluded to that, didn't he? I'd be expecting Mel and Kenboy to be the ones that would improve most for the Savile's Chase, and obviously they chased home at Plutard and that last year.
Yeah, Willie was talking about how tired Aloha was when he came into the winner's enclosure, and the indication was that because everything has started a bit later, that's going to have knock-on effects to Christmas and we might not see him. He also mentioned the horse jumping left, which seemed to take him by surprise. He hasn't even been jumping left for the term of his natural life.
No, he's a wonderful memory, our Willie. Look, if we're going to show him to you here. Watch him in Thurles jumping the last fence beside Ellie May. I wouldn't mind, but he'd the first two in that race. And Aloha heads off to his left. And then if you even go back a little bit further, you can see him at Punchestown in a novice hurdle where he jumps across in front of Manila Indo. Now, when he did run a Fairy House, when he beat Milan Native in a beginner's chase, he didn't appear to go two left that day. But there is plenty of evidence of him going left in the past.
Yeah, I think that's why he enjoyed the new course as well, probably a bit more than he did the old course. The Horse and Jockey Hotel is what he took in
Thurles,
last time.
He won that last year. But he did run Durkin, which he was sixth in, went to the Savile's, and then the Horse and Jockey last year. So it'll be interesting to see which way he goes.
OK, now, how about a problem like Envoi Alain? We've had a couple of correspondents contact us about this horse. Barry Jones says, what are Ruby's thoughts on Envoi Alain? Gordon Elliott made it clear that he thought this horse was probably the best he's ever trained. Did he overrate him? Is it the stable switch? And is Henry getting it wrong? And United at Jameda says, it won't happen, but I thought it'd be interesting to see Elliott and Davy Russell spend some time with Envoi Alain again, just in case he feels fundamentally a different horse now to when they had him and he was an apparent real star. What did you think of a problem like Envoi Alain?
I don't think there's a problem. I think his running down Royal didn't overly excite me, and I think that's what we saw on Sunday. I've always said it, and I'm a pain in my face in it. When you're against novices, it's easy to be the top dog. When you get in against the the better ones, that's when you have to step up. He twisted a little bit in the air at the first. This was the fourth, a bit high if you're going to crab him, but he was beaten going to the fourth last fence. Rachel Blackmore was slapping the shoulder off him going to this. Jumps it fine, and again at the last, he's getting a bit tired maybe when he's starting to fade, gets into the corner, but nothing wrong with his jumping. You couldn't say, oh yeah, back over hurdles with him. There's nothing wrong with his jumping. It just might be that, yeah, he was a really good novice, but like being a really good underage footballer, when the rest of them improve and grow up, they can often pass the star kid by, and it looks to me like he's been overtaken.
Yeah, that does look like that to me as well. I can't really improve on what Tony Keenan at Racing Trends said. He said of that, just looks like a horse. He does,
that's
just looks like a horse.
A good analogy right now anyway.
Add 2 mile 1, says Henry.
I wouldn't be, yeah, why not? Try something. And probably because if you want to run them at Christmas, it's either 2 miles in 1 or 3 miles. There's no 2.5.
OK, so do something with Envoy Allen and maybe he can buck up his ideas. There was more going on Ireland on Sunday and over here. We're going to talk about those races now. We're going to move on, Ruby, to Cork. And we saw not only Concertista making her novice chase debut, of which more later in the show, but more pertinently, Enagamen winning the Hilly Way. And we've compared those two course and distance races against each other.
Yeah, obviously both the very same distance, so we can compare them for a pace. Relevance, I suppose, to the first fence, Enagamen, Magic Days. But Enagamen and Notebook are a long way in front of Concertista, obviously all of the way. Magic Days was kind of keeping tabs for a while, but they really got going in the Hilly Way chase when they faced down the back straight to fence 6. The two of them went hard at it. And I suppose if you're judging this off where Concertista is to Enagamen, she makes up quite a bit of ground on him, as when he gets in control of the race, he slows down. But two good performances, but there's no doubt which one took my fancy, and that was Enagamen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, overall, the two overall times are almost identical, but it's achieved in two completely different ways. And you see from the way that Notebook went and tried to take on Enagamen, past the bypass fifth and approaching the de facto fifth in the end, what would have been the sixth. And then they go at it, but they're exhausted by 4 hours. And Notebook ends up being beaten by 42 lengths. That is what happens take on Enagamen.
Yeah, but they went at it from flagfall. And if we look at it from the start, Notebook and Enagamen go from the time the flag drops. Both wanted to make the run, and Notebook had a run under his belt, so Shane Fitzgerald was sending him forward, and Enagamen, Sean O'Keefe, Enagamen likes to be ridden that way. So it rattled down to the first fence, the two of them, and Size and Potsy's not a slow horse, but they're pulling clear of him to the first. Enagamen spots a decent enough stride and jumps it well enough. You know, Size and Potsy, there's just some stretch on these. Now Enagamen gets to the front and gets in control of the race going to the second fence, and he goes clear of Notebook up until they get to that bypass fence past the stands, when Notebook comes back down his inside and Shane Fitzgerald and Sean O'Keefe go at it, hammer and tongs all the way down the back straight. Now there's very little between them, but look at the distance they're opening on Cashback, Size and Potsy, and they're just... It was a race in the back straight, whereas the Concertista race, you'll see in a while, is a race up the home straight. They collide at the back of the fifth last, Enagamen goes to the fourth last, and Notebook jumps back up on his inside, but that's the end of Notebook. And he's a busted flush by the time they get to the third last, and Enagamen negotiates his way down the straight. But I like them also from the back of this fence, how when he jumps it, he doesn't fall in a complete hole, he still manages to gallop away and open the ground again on Size and Potsy and Daily Tiger.
I agree. I think it was very impressive. Sectionally, it was also very impressive the way he managed to jump at that speed, the way that he was able to come home, given that, like most of the ones that Willie Mellons was talking about at his yard, needed the run and finished pretty tired, particularly in circumstances like that. It was just, there was just a lot to like in terms of the top 2 mile chases for the rest of the season.
There was, and you know, I'd ridden and worked the week before, and fences definitely make Enagamen a better horse.
Yeah, I get that. Now, do you have, like I do, any concern about left-handed, right-handed? More specifically, the tightness of the old course for the Queen Mother Champion Chase?
I don't. No. No. Could be wrong, but not right now. I don't anyway.
OK. Right. That was right-handed, obviously. Just little signs of him... when he was tired going to his right, but obviously we're going to learn more a little bit through the course of the season. Right, we should talk about Shishkin at this juncture because it emerged on Friday, Nicky Henderson saying that there'd been a trachea wash, another trachea wash, the figures weren't good, and now there is some doubt about whether this horse will be able to reappear in the Desert Orchid. Clearly he missed the Tingle Creek at the weekend. That means that he could line up in the Champion Chase with just one run maximum in open company under his belt. Would that worry you?
Well, no, but he could go Clarence House, Newbury, Cheltenham. The time does allow that.
He could, but do you think it's likely?
I'm only saying he could.
Tends to be quite testing at Ascot, doesn't it?
It does tend to be testing at Ascot, but still a couple of weeks to Christmas, so you wouldn't know.
OK, let's have a look at the betting, shall we? We've got a couple of races to show you. So the Paddy Rewards Club chases the two-miler at Leopardstown over Christmas, and the Champion Chase odds are on the right, and you can see what you think about that. Enigmen is 4-7 over Christmas, 9-4, second favourite behind Shishkin for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Any thoughts on what you're seeing in front of you there, Ruby?
No, not a whole pile.
Well, that's a short section, isn't it? Who of those do you think will actually run at Christmas in the Paddy Rewards?
That's an even better question.
Thank you.
Enigmen and Envoy Allen.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Certainly find out about Envoy Allen.
You would. What do you want to find out about him?
Stuff happened in Britain as well on Sunday, notably the Peterborough Chase, and it featured First Flow. And this was a great personal victory between Kim Bailey and David Bass, because they'd been arguing all week. David Bass didn't think he'd stay the 2.5 miles. Kim Bailey was sure that he would.
Yeah, and it was Stamina that won the race for him, because I actually took the runner-up out of it as the horse maybe to go back and trip and have a bit of fun with.
Totally agree. I think he could win a valuable 2 mile handicap, couldn't you? You're talking about Fernambule Civilla.
I couldn't pronounce it. Fernambule Civilla.
You're good, but you're not right.
Yeah, no. All Mankind, Tommy Tucker, and Nisha Williams' horse on the outside down to the first. And look, I think when you look at this, you probably get to the sixth fence. Keeper Hill is already feeling the pinch and he's struggling. The eighth, Eldorado Allen, makes a bit of a mistake towards the... Oh no, First Flow was slow at that, sorry, not Eldorado Allen. Mr Tommy Tucker, he lost his position for some reason early enough in the race for a forward-going horse. But, you know, First Flow didn't agree with David Bass at that fence. What he saw, First Flow didn't. But look at Charlie Deutsch. He's the one that was going the best most of this race. Made a small mistake there, but he's straight back on the bridle. Whereas First Flow was struggling. All Mankind was beaten, and he made a mistake at the third last. The Grey and Ferris with Eldorado Allen keeps plugging away. Mm-hmm. But it was Stamina that won out for First Flow. And how am I saying it again?
Funambule Civilla.
Funambule Civilla. I'll remember that someday, because it will be a name worth remembering.
Yeah, I totally agree about the potential target for that, because I think he was softened up on the lead as well by horses taking him on. Maybe Master Tommy Tucker didn't enjoy that and that's why he dropped away. And Eldorado Allen, quite a significant mistake, 5 out, and mistakes everywhere for All Mankind.
Littered with mistakes for All Mankind. But that was, I think, the end of a moderate weekend for the Skeletons.
Yes.
At least Bridget kept it all going in the entry.
Yeah, we will get on to her Grade 2 success in a moment. Clarence House is what Kim Bailey is thinking about for First Flow, the race, the Grade 1 that he won last year.
Yeah, Stamina, 2 miles and one. There's no way to think of the other race, would there? 2.5, what's that? In Ascot as well?
The Ascot Chase in the new year. Yeah.
Having won over 2.5, didn't you? He just looked like a horse, definitely, that Kim Bailey was right. Stamina won that.
They will close their eyes when he's jumping a fence, though, because he's just quite an extraordinary horse. I think he called him an oddball after the race.
Four scored ones ever, ginking him.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the Ryanair betting, shall we, and see how things are with that. Alaho, after his win in the John Durkin, tops it to retain his title. Still got Protectorat in that. More of him in a moment. This, as ever at this point in the season, is just completely up in the air, this race.
Yeah, you'd have to think the one... going back and what we've seen so far this year, providing he's 100%, that would look value there, could possibly be Sham Blue.
Knew you were going to say that. Flat track for me.
Fine.
It's good to disagree. Yeah. That's what this is about.
It is. Yeah.
OK, let's have a look at the many clouds, Chase, shall we? This was Bridget Andrews winning another Grade 2 on Protectorat, up against the likes of Native River and Tiger Roll.
Yeah, look, eight runners, six of them lined up to go forward to the first, but by the time they get to it and jump it, Tiger Roll, who had lined up, is already at the back of the shot. He never seemed to go at all, whereas Protectorat in the yellow, when he gets slightly close to this fence, which was the third, you're thinking, yeah, he switched off for Bridget now. And he's some chance of getting the trip, but it wasn't long before he started pulling. Imperial Aura, he never went either. You see David Bass was changing his hands on him there early in the back straight in the first circuit. Gets right in under what was their first a circuit back, and he's pulled up already. But look, at halfway, this was a one-horse race. Mm. It looked like Protectorat was in the wrong race against the wrong opposition. He was going that easy, and he was loving the fact that Bridget Andrews was able to slow him down and pull him back. And eventually jumps up beside Native River here. Bridget takes him back, but eventually he just jumps by. And he was just much too good for the opposition. But what I found interesting watching the replay of this was the speedometer that was on the racing TV in the corner of the screen. And it surprised me how quick they were going and how quick this horse managed to stay going. Now, at that stage, he stalled right down to 22 miles an hour. But again, from the back of the last, he starts to build speed again. Tired horses generally don't do that. They keep losing the speed and slow down, whereas this fella picked up twice, three times actually, picked up his speed in the home straight.
He won at Aintree as a novice. He's clearly going the right way. He's just a 6-year-old, I think, isn't he? Rising seven. There was quite a significant error before he ran really well when second in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, and he was a little bit scruffy. I know that Richard was trying to get himself in the early stages in that race. Early paces of the Gold Cup, would you be worried about his jumping holding up early on?
No, I wouldn't actually. And the more you think about it, the Paddy Power Gold Cup, that 2 miles, 5 furlong start in Cheltenham, or 2.5, whatever it is, that requires more speed. Mm. I don't know what it is about that track, but it suits faster horses than slower ones. Whereas the Gold Cup, I think Protectorat will have the gears to sit wherever he wants to.
The others that ran in that race are, you're sort of scratching your head a bit. I mean, Native River's now 11, seems to be sadly on the downgrade. Imperial hasn't completed his last four starts. Simply the Best, well, really patiently ridden, but then his jumping started to unravel.
Yeah, but he was patiently ridden, yet by the time he jumped the last fence with a circuit to race, he was any price you wanted. He was going lower.
And I was surprised to see Tiger Roll go back to Aintree. It looked like he hated the Malmö course last April.
Yeah, but looking at him on Saturday, it looked like he hated the weather too, because he never went it anywhere.
Yeah, he was low through his fence as well. We should mention the weather, actually. He was really testing ground and really strong wind buffeting people around, which would have exaggerated the margins as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, but Tiger Roll was beaten jumping one fence, so...
Yeah.
It's hardly like, what do you do? Look out and think, oh, don't like this place before that track over there? I don't know.
Wait, Tiger Roll. Right, let's have a look at the betting for the staying chases over Christmas and also on to the Gold Cup in March. So we're focusing on the Savills Chase, not the King George. And Aplutar is the favourite at 5-4. Protectorat is entering the Savills, but I suspect it was an either-or choice between the Many Clouds and the Savills. Not necessarily, but it could well have been.
It could well have been. It's the Savills is the 28th. Last Saturday was the...
Oh, that's a difficult question. Is the fourth?
24 days. 24 days. Like, I know he won well, but he still went a long way in testing ground. Yeah. I think that'd be a quick enough turnaround for him. I'd be surprised if he turned up there.
Okay. So, there we are. We've talked about chases over 2 miles, over 2.5 miles, over 3 miles. Chases. This time last week, I was begging you to have more than 3,000 respondents to the social media poll. I wouldn't say it's a hashtag disgrace, Ruby, but it's not a resounding victory, just shy of 2,000.
Yeah, but like a few minutes ago I asked you what date last Saturday was. You said it was a difficult question, and then you asked this question for a social media poll.
I did, and I'm getting the feeling from the social media team that they think it was a bad question. But anyway, I asked our roadies what will win the Mrs. Paddy Powermare's Chase, and the winner was Concertista, B Concertista. Let's talk about her first off, shall we? We've already mentioned her earlier on in the show. We've got a couple of points. Shockster says that I'd only run her against novices, not the champion chaser. Put the kettle on. Willie Mullins does this also. She'd get £7 from the geldings in what is now the Turner's Novice Chase. And Wayne at Wobber says, yeah, you're right, he always does say this. I don't see him running a novice in an open event. Oh, hang on, what won last year? Mind you, mark the date of time. Look at that, on social media. Shockster says, can't argue with that.
Shock horror.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, but she looked consistent. Was good in Cork at the weekend. We picked up going to the first Magic Days and Kitty Galore jumped out and went a really good gallop. By the time we got to the fourth fence, Concertista was awkward at the fourth fence. And when they rounded the corner then past the bypass fifth to the sixth, Concertista was quite slow and she can be a little low. She definitely isn't much daylight between Concertista's legs and the top of the fences, but down the home straight, it was good at the second last, and then Class got her home at the last fence. Magic Days and Jeremy's Flame, who are race fit, were on her inside, and Class has told out under a good ride from Sean O'Keefe for Concertista. But as your last social media viewer said, Colreevy did win that mare's chase last year as a novice.
Go the Colreevy route there, do you think?
There's a good rare novice chase programme in Ireland, and I'd imagine she'd follow that.
OK, so that is Concertista. We also had people who liked B. Ellie May, such as Richard Cook. He said he's prepared to forgive her run at Aintree, not happy with the ground and was buffeted by the wind. He goes back to her form with Alaho and Colreevy. So she ran at Aintree on Saturday, Ruby. She ran against Zambella and Annie Mack, who both finished in front of her.
She did, yeah. Look, and Zambella set out. Daryl Jacob dictated the race in front. Went a bit to her right at the first, but it was still a good jump. By the time they got to the fourth fence, Ellie May is quite deliberate at the fourth fence. And in the approach to the fifth fence, you can see them all getting buffeted in the wind. Gaydon Coleman was squeezing Ellie May away from the sixth. And from 9 to 10, Zambella was very good, whereas Ellie May was flat out. By the time they got around to fence 13, which is the second last, Zambella is the one you wanted to be on. Sorry, the third last. Back at the second last, John O'Neill and Annie Mack has a little look behind. You're thinking, oh, is he confident? But when he looks back up, Zambella's gone. I was really taken by Zambella's jumping. Ellie May had been in Carlisle the week before. Back to Ireland, back to Aintree, and she looked like a mare that was flat. So I don't think you can judge Ellie May on it, but I thought Zambella was really professional.
And Zambella could be ridden a different way as well. In the Mrs. Paddy Power last season, she was just working her way into it when falling three out. So I think she's quite interesting long term. Many of you said, A, Put the Kettle On. Richard Hogan, like me, is a fan of Put the Kettle On, but he's suggesting if she is going to go up to 2.5 miles, why wouldn't she run in the Ryanair? I have to say, my reaction to all the shenanigans that have gone on around 2 miles over the weekend is that her price, following her defeat in the Schlur, just looks too big. 25 to 1 for the Champion Chase. I think that looks too big now.
Put her up, so. Put her up, so.
I've already put up Niamh Egger and look where that got me.
You can back two horses, no one raced you.
I know. That you showed me that last season. Now let's talk novice hurdles, shall we? We're starting at Cork, Ruby, on Sunday with the two divisions of the 2 mile maiden. We're starting with the defeat of Kilcrut.
Yeah, and he was comprehensively beaten by Largy Debu, who was really taken, Lydia. Only three horses ever counted in this race: Largy Debu, Kilcrut, and Sharp Focus. And you see how far in front of the rest they are before by the time they got to the first hurdle. But both the two front two horses jumped well early in the back straight, good and nimble, and they're dropping Sharp Focus at this stage. It was a really good gallop, but turning away from here, Largy Debu was slightly awkward at the fourth last, but I was more taken with Keith Donoghue's body language than Sean O'Keefe's from a long way out. And you always got the impression Keith was going better. Over the second last, he makes a bad mistake, but Largy Debu picks up from that, gets over the last. Kilcrut's a bit awkward at that, but look, other than thinking Kilcrut was beaten possibly earlier than he should have been, you could make an excuse, but I think you have to give the winner the credit. And I think Chris Jones and Henry de Bromhead have a really good horse.
I think you've got two very good horses bumping into each other.
Yeah.
A bit like Fernie Hollow and Bob Olinger last season, and Kilcrut is probably lacking a bit of fitness, isn't he?
I'd say, yeah, definitely. That makes perfect sense. But I was taken by the winner. I thought it was a really good performance.
Agree. He won a point-to-point for his previous trainer, was third in a bumper. That was his first start for Henry de Bromhead. Now, I thought we would have a difference of opinion about how we'd say the word Largy, not debut. And that took me by surprise.
What did I call him?
Debut. It was very posh. It was very posh.
Tell you, I'm getting good at this. If I can learn to pronounce my THs now, I'll be flying.
Dice Out Domino. Let's have a look at the second division.
Yeah. And look, this is a horse that we had a viewer asking about last week. He was a bit green, ran up around a bit, going to the first, kind of bunny hops the second hurdle under Sean O'Keefe again. It wasn't spectacular, but his jumping did get better. Had a good look at the third, and he was a bit high at that. But obviously this race, the field was much more concertina, and it was a bit more competitive than the first division. By the time he gets to the fourth hurdle, he's into a rhythm. He seems to jump that pretty well from the side on. Quickens and is quite good. He's quick and good at this, is the last hurdle in the back straight, which is their sixth, and he's fast. You know, he lands galloping away from it. I was impressed by him, and I like the way that when he's going faster, wings the third last. Down to the second last again, Sean spots a good stride in him, absolutely flies that as well. And when he gets to the last, well, he wraps the top bar off him, but the race is done and dusted. I thought it was a good performance.
You mentioned that I was asking about him last week. That was on behalf of Foss Las Boyo, who has also been in touch as a result of this. Last week, he was wondering why the horse hadn't been entered in Grade 1s over Christmas. This time around, he's saying how impressed he was with the win at Cork, and despite being green, he's got a massive engine. But this is the key point. Why did he have a tongue tie on for the first time? Has there been a wind issue since last season, do you know?
No, he hasn't had anything done with his wind anyway. But obviously, somebody heard something and stuck a tongue tie on him, and definitely didn't do him any harm anyway.
No, and Christmas, are we likely to see him?
It has to be supplemented, unlike Willie to not have one in a novice hurdle.
Indeed.
I wonder who's going to get the blame for that.
Let's have a look at the Grade 2 Navan novice hurdle, shall we? That was won by Jinto, beating Eric Bloodaxe. What did you make of this?
Yeah, first hurdle, Eric Bloodaxe makes a mistake at the first, and to be honest with you, I don't think Eric Bloodaxe turned up. I thought he ran poorly. I thought Embittered ran poorly on the same card, both Joseph O'Brien's. But I like Jinto, and I was taken by Jinto. Jamie Codd obviously stepped in for Davy Russell, who got in a fall and gotten injured. But Gordon's horses were on fire, Lydia. He'd 7 winners on this card, which is an incredible feat. And I think this was the most impressive of him, Jinto. Farouk Delane was good in the other novice, the novice chase. Obviously, we saw Riviera de Tell, or we will see Riviera de Tell, but Jinto. Yeah, a lot to like about him. Stays really well, and he's absolutely bolted in here.
I like his head carriage as well and the way he propels himself.
You've nothing
forward
to dislike about him.
Yeah, so that was a history-making 7-timer for Gordon Elliott. And then here in Britain, we had a novice hurdler potentially worth shouting about, Constitution Hill winning the opener at Sandown.
Another one. 2 weeks in a row, is it? Or is it 2 weeks? Yeah, John
Might
Bond,
be.
Was he two
yeah,
weeks
it is,
ago?
Yeah, it is 2 weeks in a row, yeah.
2 weeks in a row, yeah. And this horse was good. He had a really good gallop here. The last High King pulled his way to the front, and I loved the way Constitution Hill sat in and relaxed. He was, easy ride for Nico de Bonneville. Might High, Jump High, Outlaw Peak going to the second last, or at the back of the second last, but Constitution Hill picked him up like they were standing still. Mm. And Might High had really impressed me at Newton Abbott. And to finish at unbelievable intervals, but you'd have to love a horse going that fast up the hill in Sandown past the winning post. That is not an easy thing to do, and he was spectacular.
Yeah, I agree. He's the real deal. Nicky Henderson said he's the most extraordinary creature I've come across in years, talking about how laid back he is. This is the early joust in the Supreme Novices and Ballymore Novices anti-post betting. John Bond and Constitution Hill, both trained by Nicky Henderson at the four there. So Gerhard is yet to make his debut over hurdles. Dice Adamo and Kilcrut Lagi debut. We just talked about. Any thoughts?
They're both trained in England. Is that right, yeah?
I think there's a mistake with the graphic. Novice chasers now, and we're going to go back to Edward Stone, who was a really impressive winner of the Henry VIII Novices Chase, having third time lucky in behind him. Also, Il Ridotto, who was thrown in that Grade 1 after embarrassing seasoned handicappers at Newbury the previous weekend. What did you make of this, Ruby?
I thought Il Ridotto was the first horse beaten. Mm-hmm. Down to the first fence, he was flat to the boards. Third time lucky, went a really good gallop, and he jumped. But if you're going to go like third time lucky did, you cannot miss a beat. Flies here, so does Edward Stone, but he misses the next third time lucky. And if you're going to put them to the pin or the collar behind you, you have to get every length in the air, so they have to work to catch up with you. I thought Edward Stone jumped really well, but he's both made the mistakes at the first of the railway. Third time lucky is slow, Edward Stone nods. Third time lucky comes at the next one, Edward Stone grabs. But I think at the back of the last railway fence, Edward Stone finds it too easy to make up the ground on third time lucky, because third time lucky hasn't jumped well enough for an out and out front running performance.
I think he's going to shade too fast for his own good. I think there's been an overreaction to his defeat here as well. Good horses have got beaten in this race in the past.
They have, and even if you think he's on a fraction too fast, I think those three mistakes, if you're thinking it's called, this card is a Tingle Creek card, because Tingle Creek jumped and burned around Sandown.
Yeah.
If you're going to burn, you have to jump, and he just didn't jump. Puts a good performance in the winner, who galloped all the way to the line and who was a better hurdler than the runner-up.
Yeah, it was a really good performance from Edward Stone. He'll be an eight-year-old next season. Eight-year-olds winning the Arkle, Sizing Europe, Moscow Flyer, Commandante. There's only three since the 80s. This is his take two at fences. He ran once over fences at Doncaster last season.
Yeah, but there was a lot to like about him at the weekend.
Yes, very much so. There was a lot to like about Fernie Hollow as well, and he ran into a substantial horse again, like he did on his novice hurdling debut. On his novice chase debut, he ran into here in Cur Sublime.
Yeah, but what I liked about Fernie Hollow was it got better as it went on. It wasn't foot perfect early. It was kind of only half okay to look at. That was the second fence. He climbs up the hill here to the fourth fence, out to his left a little bit, down to the fifth, and it's not pretty to watch. At the bottom of the hill here, Punchestown, the first ditch. That's all you can say about it. But it gets so much better. By the time they bypass the next three fences, four out, it's way slicker. Up in front and through the air from behind. Again, at the third last, he was much better. But then when they get down to the second last, and Cur Sublime, Rachel Blackmore joins him, they're flying. Bolt wing this. Rachel rolls in and slams into Patrick at the back of it here, just to make sure he's awake. And then they both get close to the last and dance in front of it. So what I did before Fernie Hollow was he learnt on the job and got much better as he went on.
Particularly for such an inexperienced horse that missed most of his novice hurdling season.
Yeah, he did, but there's a lot to like about that.
Yeah, I very much agree. Meanwhile, Riviere d'Etel continues to win impressively. This is her success at Navan in a Grade 3.
Yeah, and look, she did what betting suggested she would do. Jumped out, jumped the first well, bowled on down to the second, jumped it well. She never missed a beat, but she's beaten Take All, who she'd beaten before. 12 fences later, she's still doing what she was doing in the beginning. Good performance, beat Take All, real deal, way up in the air, and Bitter never jumped a fence. Good performance, good placing. It was either go there or take on Magic Days and Concertista. That was good placing, that's training.
She did go out a little bit to her right. She did do as a novice hurdler as well, but went and had a look at her Fred Winter run when she was still quite raw and keen. And actually, she ran very well there and jumped quite straight.
And looks much more the finished article this year.
Definitely agree. Let's have a look at the Arkle and Turner's novice chase. Turner's, not the
Marsh
anymore.
That's the one on Thursday.
Yeah, the one on Thursday. That's a good one to identify. We'll have to get used to that. Again, these markets are not fully formed yet, clearly. But that gives you an idea of how people are thinking at the moment. And we're going to end this section with a couple of stayers, Ruby. We were quite excited by Oscar Elite's performance behind 3 under 3.5, or the potential of it, when they met at Cheltenham. But he was beaten at Huntingdon on Sunday.
Yeah, and comprehensively beaten as well, Lydia. Brinkley is a laid-back, lazy sort of type. But from early on, Brinkley was getting the better of the exchanges here. Brinkley jumps by Oscar Elite on his outside. Again, Brinkley at the fourth fence jumps by Oscar Elite. Only marginally, but all those margins add up at the end of the day. But they got back to the ditch in front of the stands on the second circuit. It's Oscar Elite who gets the better of Brinkley for the first time in a while. But, you know, were you taken with Brinkley's resolution, or is it Oscar Elite fading that ultimately is his race? Which one is it about?
I think it's both. I think that Oscar Elite has pressed on too far out when he seems to have got the better of Brinkley. They'd already done quite a lot against each other. And then I'm impressed by Brinkley just grittily keeping going. It should have been Honest Vic, really, that picked them up the way that they'd raced, but he couldn't get past Brinkley.
No, he couldn't get by Brinkley, who looks like the application of more headgear might suit. He's as tough as old boots, I'd say, Brinkley.
Very much so. A sort of nascent marathon chaser, isn't he, you would think. So National Hunt Chase, I would think, would be a possibility for his trainer, David Pipe. That is it, Ruby. This weekend, we're looking forward to what one of our correspondents has called the UK's second greatest hype horse running at Cheltenham. Don't blame me, Dan Skelton. Blame Liam D at LD5679, now that you're into social media. Second greatest hype horse.
I think that's a bit harsh, but hey, it's social media, what would you expect?
You've been pretty harsh all the way through the course of this programme.
I mean, keeping you on the toes. You're the broadcast of the year, you know.
Three, Mr. Christian. Make sure you check out the column, which is racingtv.com/road to Cheltenham. Ruby still hasn't tipped a horse. Maybe he will next week. Tune in and find out.
The home of jump racing. This is where the magic happens. Feel like a Cheltenham favourite with Paddy Power.